Welcome to another episode of the QBless Fantasy Football Podcast. I'm your host, Callan Elslinger, joined as always by Mario Adamo Jr. and Brian Hartman. And guys, I gotta say, this week, while great for NFL action, that Houston Texans game was awesome. My Steelers pulled out a win. The Eagles, what a insane close game against the Dallas Cowboys. Just some great football. But fantasy wise, It wasn't all that great. I mean, he had a couple blowups, and we'll get to it in a little bit. But outside of that, like we were talking about before the show, the number one running back and number one wide receiver, they're good performances, but they're not that huge in the waiver wire. Brian and I were talking about it before. It is barren this week. I wish we could say it'd be great. Obviously, there's some names that'll make a difference, but looking at it immediately, it's rough. But we're gonna try and make sense of it because, like I said, the action from week nine itself. Pretty awesome. So, guys, how are we doing tonight?
Doing good. Like you said, my Birds pulled off the win going into the bye week with the W, which is also nice because every team that's played the Cowboys and beat the Cowboys just loses all their games afterwards. Like we've seen the Cardinals do it. We saw the 49ers do it. So the Eagles were smart. They got the bye week right after the Cowboys win. Feeling good.
Yeah, same. I'm watching the Colts win. You know, Minshew Mania out there. We've now taken down the number one and the number two overall quarterback. we're seeing running backs go out there and score kicking points. Tight ends were just scoring touchdowns left and right. It was disappointing but exciting, all in the fun, you know, all in the same time.
Yeah, great. We can, you know, wrap it up. My Steelers pulled out the win on Thursday night against Tennessee Titans. Was it pretty? No, not really. But, you know, a win's a win. We're 5-3. And season end today, we'd be playing playoff football. And I'm not going to exactly complain about that. So a lot of exciting news. We talked about the quarterback play from the past week. And that's where we're going to start with some news and notes. The first bit of news, some really exciting news. We're going to get a top-tier potential quarterback back this coming week. Kyler Murray is going to be returning for the Arizona Cardinals. Jonathan Cannon announced that on Monday morning that he will be making the start on Sunday against the Atlanta Falcons, which, let's face it, we watched Clayton Toon play. If they didn't make that decision, I would be questioning his ability as a head coach. So what's the impact on the Cardinals offense? Do Marquise Brown and Trey McBride jump back up into, you know, high-end territories, must starts? Where do you value your Cardinals players going forward?
I'm excited. I think Hollywood Brown is now going to be a substantial piece of your starting lineup. I think Trey McBride is going to slide into tight end one startability each and every week just with the volume alone. And then we've got Kyler. I mean, he may not be 100% off that ACL, but there's going to be some rushing upside. And just, you know, he's on average, I want to say top five all time in points per game at the quarterback position. So I'm all for it.
Yeah, I'm very excited about Murray. I've been preaching him every single week in the waiver wire article. This is probably going to be the last week we'll be able to sneak him in there, but he's still out there. So please go scoop him up. Last year, he finished as QB 10 or higher or better in 7 of the 10 games he played. And the games he wasn't QB 10 or better was 22, obviously stinks, but then 12 and 14. So he's definitely, we've seen him. We know Kyler Murray to be fantasy relevant. So I'm very excited to see what he can do.
Keep an eye out as well. James Conner, his practice window may be opening. He's reached 4 weeks of IR, so he could be back any week now. And the Cardinals, let's face it, they don't really have a run game without him. Mario DiMercato has had a week or two where he was good, but outside of that, the run game is very difficult in Arizona. So keep an eye on James Conner. If he's back, he might fall back into that high-end RB2 sort of territory where he becomes a week-for-week starter. Sticking with the quarterback position, head coach Arthur Smith, one of the least favorite head coaches in the NFL, he did announce that Taylor Heinicke will be making another start this week in that same matchup against the Arizona Cardinals. I thought maybe there'd be good things for Kyle Pitts as a result when Drake London's out, but what am I thinking? It's Arthur Smith. Why would anything go for your talented players? So same question, but it doesn't have to be as much as we've seen it, but how do you value your Falcons players going forward now with Heinicke back? And I guess we can turn into a Bijan conversation as well.
Yeah, there's one Falcon that I'm excited about. And maybe it just kind of hit me, but maybe Arthur Smith really values Jonnu Smith. Maybe there's some kind of connection there that we're just not aware of. But Jonnu Smith continues to be the tight end one in Atlanta. People just choose to be ignorant to this fact. Jonnu Smith looked great this week. He had 6 targets. He had a touchdown. He had a good week, Jonnu Smith. So he's the only one I'd be excited about on this offense. Bijan still seems to be in the doghouse, or I don't know what's going on there. He's getting split carries with Algier. And Pitts, I can't start with confidence. So if it's not Jonnu Smith, it's nobody in this offense.
Surprise, surprise. Mario's, you know, dumping on Pitts again.
Stop me where you've heard that before. It's just exactly what you expect to be saying in week 10 of 2023. Yeah, start Jonnu Smith with confidence. Thank you, Arthur. Gross. Thank you. Hopefully that fumble Bijan had late in the game doesn't put him in a doghouse. But let's face it, it's Arthur Smith. If he can find a reason to put Bijan in the doghouse, he might. So we'll let the start-sit article writers tell you what to do with Bijan going forward. But definitely doesn't have the upside we're hoping for. Not because of talent, but because of his head coach. Stick with the quarterback position as well. This might have been the headline we probably should have led with. But Josh Dobbs will be making the start for the Minnesota Vikings this coming Sunday as well. And let's face it, we watched that game. If you went anywhere different, people would be calling for Kevin O'Connell's head. He comes in after not making a single snap in practice after Jaren Hill suffers a concussion on a very hard hit trying to run in for a touchdown. And what does he do? He goes into, he plays against the Atlanta Falcons and defeats our nemesis, Arthur Smith. So Josh Dobbs might be the favorite player among the fantasy football industry now as a result. But we saw a lot from him. I'm going to be starting my Vikings with confidence now, as at least TJ Hockenson. Addison gets to that close, you know, borderline flight, like wide receiver 3-2 territory. But I saw a lot from Josh Dobbs to like the Vikings players going forward. Do you guys view that differently now that Dobbs has been announced as a starter going forward?
I definitely think it's sustainable. I definitely feel better as a Jefferson manager, just because I feel like every week is a roller coaster. Are they just going to leave him shut down? Are they going to bring him back? So this is good signs for that. And Josh Dobbs himself, he looks great. There's a lot of, again, a little ahead of myself, but there's 4 teams on bye this week, 3 with really good quarterbacks, the Eagles, the Chiefs, the Dolphins, and then the Rams. But Dobbs is probably my number one guy I'm looking at on the waiver for a fill-in. He looked great last week, and I have confidence. It's something about when he gets to a team for the first time, like that's where the magic happens. So still riding it.
Yeah. Arthur Smith victory aside, how can you not root for Dobbs? You know, like, it was sad. They didn't even have a jersey with his name on it. They had medical tape written Dobbs on the back shoulders. You know, it was so sad. But
oh my God,
this kid, it's so fun to see him go out there and play and be successful. And yeah, like you said, not a single practice snap. But I have a lot more confidence than I did. I'm not in the fire sale mode that I was with Jordan Addison just, you know, last week. So I'm excited just for the Vikings are winners of 5 straight right now. Yeah. Defense is looking pretty good. Hey, they, like we said, they might be in the playoff hunt right now. I'm pretty sure they are if playoffs ended today.
Yeah, a winnable matchup against New Orleans Saints coming up as well. And good news for them, too, is Justin Jefferson may have his practice window opened. His 4 weeks are up, so monitor his situation closely as he may make his return, which would even make the Vikings even more exciting. But yeah, hard not to root for Josh Dobbs. I'm going to be I'll be a Vikings fan, at least for the NFC teams going forward, just how fun this has been. Sticking with the injured reserve returns, we got 2 good news for players. We'll start with in Chicago. Khalil Herbert is going to have his designated from turn for hours, or his practice windows open. This is concerning to me because Deontay Foreman had another real good game for the Bears this past week. He didn't get any end zone, but 20 carries, 83 yards, established himself as the lead guy and someone who has Deontay Foreman in a few leagues. Take a few more weeks, Khalil. I'd like to have a running back that I can be comfortable with, but you know, monitor that situation closely. Justin Fields may also be making a return. They do have a Thursday night game coming up against the Carolina Panthers, so we'll definitely want some clarity there. But at this point, how are you viewing the Bears backfield with a potential Khalil Herbert return?
Yeah, I do think Herbert's going to come back. I think it's going to be his job again. I will say he wasn't doing anything too impressive with it. He was someone that we would talk about pretty frequently on the drop candidates, and then you have one game to save himself for a week. So I'm a little worried. I'm still holding on to Foreman, even though I expect Herbert to win the job, but it could be another Zach Moss, Jonathan Taylor situation where you're happy to have the number 2 guy if he's still getting 100 yards and a touchdown.
Yeah, we'll get to Zach Moss in a little bit, but are you excited about the number two in Indy? But we'll get to that in just a little bit. Finally, it's sticking with the running back position. Miami, not too much relevant for this coming week because they're on a bye, but Devon Achan, he's likely going to be coming off the IR in week 11 to return for the Miami Dolphins, which is awesome news because we all know how electric he was before his injury. And let's face it, after you saw them play in Germany, the Dolphins kind of need another spark to that offense. So hopefully Devon Achan can provide that. We'll probably get into him a little bit more next week once it gets to that. But your very brief early thoughts, committee, no committee, how are you viewing the Dolphins backfield, Brian?
I still think they'll be splitting it about like they were those last couple weeks, but I'm confident Achane's going to get his on his few touches. And if Mostert isn't injured, like I kind of have a hunch he might be ever since that Eagles game, he's been playing a little different. But if he's out there healthy, I think he'll be touching the ball just enough to make something happen. These guys are both fast.
Yep.
Yep. Both will be startable come week 11, unless something crazy happens, which let's face it, it's the NFL. That's very possible. We'll go over to the injuries. The big news that came out this morning is that Ja'Marr Chase suffered a back injury during Sunday night's win over the Buffalo Bills. He was quoted at the game to say it felt like it got worse as the game went on. So monitor that situation closely. We know how important Ja'Marr Chase is to this Bengals offense as someone who just traded for Joe Burrow in one of his most important home leagues this past week. I'm not a big fan of hearing that. Just saying. So very early predictions, is Ja'Marr Chase out there on Sunday? What's your, you know, how closely are you monitoring this?
Yeah, you're definitely keeping a close eye on this. You know that Chase started kind of shaky earlier in the year, whether that was more because of Chase's health or because more likely of Burrow's health. We saw he started the year a little hurt, but these definitely fuel one another. So definitely keep a close eye on it. I'm not panicking yet. I'm acting calm until I have a reason to not act calm. So just riding it out and seeing how he practices this week.
100%.
Yeah. Daniel Jones left the game on Sunday, and he's going to leave the season now. It was just announced on Monday that their initial concerns from Monday were confirmed. Daniel Jones did tear his ACL and will miss the rest of the season, with Tyrod Taylor also on IR. It's going to be some sort of combo of Tommy DeVito and Matt Barkley on the Giants practice squad right now as the starting quarterback going forward. I kind of threw up in my mouth when I'm reading that. So you will not be starting a New York Giant the rest of the year that's not named Saquon Barkley. I think that's safe to say. And if we're streaming defenses, we'll get to that in a little bit. Make sure you find someone who's playing the Giants if they're available, because they will be a very easy matchup the rest of the way.
Yep. That was the case before. It's doubled the case now.
Yep.
Yep, we'll start this one over for you, Mario, just because you, as a resident Eagles fan, we may not know immediately about this, but since they're on bye, but Dallas Goedert left the game. He's considered to have a forearm fracture, which kind of puts him out 4 weeks. What's your read out in Philadelphia? How much time, you know, do we know yet how much time Goddard's going to miss?
Did see something that was a couple weeks. I saw one early tweet said 4 weeks, but I feel like if that's the case, then they put him on IR. So definitely keep an eye on this. Is my very brief understanding is that it's going to be a multiple week thing. Hate to see it. Of course, the Eagles have a bye next week, which is nice, but they come back at Kansas City, then Buffalo, San Fran, Dallas. So it's a gauntlet of games they have coming up. So definitely would like to have Goddard there, not only for real football purposes, but I think he'd be a very valuable asset in those matchups.
If only we knew someone who wrote an article about tight end streamers to replace Goddard with. I don't know if that exists anywhere, but
we'd be in luck.
Yeah. We'll get to those players in a little bit, but just a little plug. Brian has the weekly tight end streamer articles, so you may want to pay extra attention to that this week with guys on bye and Goddard being out now for a few weeks, maybe an IR stint forthcoming. I would love if they told us that sooner than later, but they won't, because that's how the NFL works. And finally, this player will be placed on IR, but you won't have him back the rest of the year. Cam Akers out for the season with a torn Achilles as well. It's on the other leg than his initial Achilles tear. I forget what year, a few years ago out in LA. So his backfield's all Alexander Mattison's. As the Vikings continue to surge, well, now another Achilles is out. So, you know, is there any Viking handcuffed to Madison, or is this Madison's job to run with?
Yeah, last I checked, it's Madison's job to run with. He wasn't doing anything too impressive. You have to think they traded for Cam Akers because they weren't impressed with Madison. So I'm not impressed with Madison, but I guess he has some value, especially while we're still in bye weeks. But very low expectations.
Yeah, Ty Chandler was probably the back that's going to see the work. Now that Akers is gone, he was in there a little bit when Akers, you know, before he got traded to the team. But either way, you're not looking that way unless you're in a very desperate deep league situation.
Yep, I would agree. So that does it for the news and notes. We'll get over to our stars of the week, where, like we said, it didn't have, you know, there were some very important players who stepped up for us finally and had some big weeks, but it didn't have the major breakouts outside of maybe one guy. And we'll start at the quarterback position. We talked a lot about beginning of the show about Josh Dobbs and how great he was. He was very good, and most weeks he would headline quarterbacks with how impressive that performance was. But there was a guy named CJ Stroud who just casually went 30 of 42, 470 yards, and 5 touchdowns for the Houston Texans. The best rookie performance in fantasy of the quarterback ever. The most yards thrown by a rookie ever. Just unbelievable. So shout out to you, CJ Stroud. Where do you guys value him rest of the season? Did he enter now into a must-start quarterback rest of the season?
I do think he was already teetering on that, right? Like he started the year with a few consecutive 20-point games. I'm pulling it up now. But definitely he has promoted himself into that. Like no bye weeks, no matchups. He's a set-and-forget bona fide starter. He started the year, 3 consecutive 21, 20, and 21. Had a little bit of a dip, 14 and 12. Bounced back beautifully here. So he's set and forget. No hesitations. He's definitely going to be a top 10, maybe even top 8 quarterback rest of schedule.
Yeah, he's only had 3 performances outside of the top 13 this year. He set the record for most rookie points scored. Yeah, it's like, it's amazing to see. Like, as a Colts fan, I can't stand to see the Texans do well, but it's so fun to see him doing well. These, you know, Nico Collins and Tank Dell doing so well over there. It's fun for the NFL. Great. For
yeah, it really is. I've been very impressed with him. Boy, the Panthers might come back to regret that pick of Bryce Young. I know it's early, but seeing how well CJ Stroud's been, and Stroud already, it's week 9. He probably already locked up rookie of the year, as long as he doesn't have an epic collapse the rest of the way. But excited to see what he can do the rest of the way. Hopefully the Texans can squeak themselves in the playoffs. They're right teetering on that playoff push, where it would be fun to see Stroud play in January, but I guess we'll see what goes there. We'll go over to the running back positions. We said we talked about Josh Dobbs enough at the beginning of the show, where there are some exciting breakouts that we've been kind of waiting on to have that big week. So Brian, I'll let you start. Who's your biggest winner breakout of the at the running back position?
Oh God. Do we really want to talk about these guys? I mean, we had to put them up here just to be nice, but Rashad White, crazy game. He's right now, we're recording this through the Monday Night Football game. So, we've got Eckler and Breece Hall to go, but as of now, we've got Rashad White, RB1 on the week, 27.9 points. He, 73 yards, 2 touchdowns. 4 catches, 46 yards. This was a shootout. I loved watching this Buccaneers game. It was a lot of fun. But seeing Rashad White over his last 3 games, averaging 20.6 PPR points a game, he's got 73% of the running back shares per game and 15% target share. Are we looking at Rashad White right now going into the back half stretch before the fantasy playoffs?
I don't think so. I don't know. Part of me thinks this is fool's gold, but I don't know. I don't know what to do with this Tampa Bay offense. I mean, not to jump to tight end, but their tight end also got 2 touchdowns. Like Rashad White, who I feel like we've kind of given up on, 2 touchdowns. It's just, this capitalized that it was a bizarro fantasy week, was seeing Rashad White and the next guy we can talk about at the top of the running backs.
Yeah, he's getting the Niners next. It's scary.
Yeah, it is scary. Probably can't trust him, but he's been getting a lot of work in the passing game. So that's my one hesitation. I probably want to see it one more week, especially against a good defense, like rushing defense, like the Titans or 49ers. But if he does that one more week, then he's in that category for me of a solid middle of the road RB2 that you'll want to start week in, week out. But Mario, you referenced the other running back that stood out to you as a, we have to talk about. So let's hear it. Who do you want to bring up?
Yeah, I'll bring him up because I'm normally a hater, but you know, that's what we do on this show. We face our demons, and that is Ramondre Stevenson. I was more of a Zeke guy going into this year. Eagles fan, I've seen him bully my Eagles time and time. So I thought Stevenson's value would plummet. I feel like it still mostly has. So let's relax ourselves, everybody. But flowers where it's due. He went 9 for 87 with a rushing touchdown. Also caught 4 balls like White did for 42 yards. And listen, that's 22 points. That's enough for RB2 as we record. So kudos to Stevenson. He did have a very tough stretch early on. Stevenson did. So I know that kind of, you know, had people pretty worried because he had pretty bad finishes. But now, you know, his past couple of weeks, the week before this, he had 7 points. But 14 before that, 18 before that. Going against Indy next week. Brian can tell us if they're good or bad run defense against running backs. He watches them more. But yeah, it's looking good for Ramondre going forward.
Yeah, they are bad against running backs, but good for fantasy football. They are allowing a lot of points, and it's back and forth. I'm loving what the Colts are doing for fantasy this year.
Yeah, with all the injuries in the receiving game, with Kendrick Bourne going out, with Juju missing some time from the past week or two, Devontae Parker out, that leaves some targets for Ramondre Stevenson, and he's being more involved in the passing game these past few weeks as well, and that's boosting his value. So it's nice to see him finally come through. The final running back I'm going to bring up is possibly a headliner for waiver wire, so we'll get into him right now. Keaton Mitchell, 9 carries, 138 yards, a touchdown. You're probably wondering, who in the world is Keaton Mitchell? Well, he was one of the many running backs the Baltimore Ravens have as rookie, started the year on IR. This was his breakout week, and he's going to play in this mix with Gus Edwards and Justice Hill. So we'll get into him a little bit more when we get to the waiver wire. But just real briefly, does this performance make him the top priority at the running back? Because, like we said, this is kind of a weaker waiver wire class this week. So is he your top priority this week playing in this all of a sudden very impressive Baltimore Ravens offense?
Yeah, okay. So I said yes in the article coming out around the same time I was listening to this. I did say yes. I did, with the caveat, mention that there was someone I talked about last week that if I didn't already talk about him last week, I think I would have been more excited and had him as my number one. I'll get to him later. But just, I think it's still an ugly backfield that he just happened to be the hot hand of this week. But because the pool is just so thin, you know, I'm not blowing my whole fab load this week, but if I'm putting money somewhere, it's on him, on Mitchell.
Yeah, he's definitely a guy I believe that needs to be picked up. But I think with his snap share, this is going to have to be, you're expecting a Devon Achane situation. Justice Hill had 48 snaps. Gus Edwards had 14. Keaton Mitchell had 13 snaps, 9 rushes and 1 target. So that means he touched the ball on, 10 of his 13 snaps. I don't know. It's kind of like the Marvin Mims experience here. You know, not very many snaps, but when he gets it, it's electric. So he's going to be picked up. He needs to be owned at this point of the season. Yeah, you're probably going to drop a good amount of fab on him, but I don't know. Do you guys? I guess it's all about how many snaps does he get, and can he get away with, you know, few snaps and explosive plays?
Yeah, let's not forget Gus Edwards had 2 goal line touchdowns, so he's not going away. My hope would be that he takes over the Justice Hill role, where he gets more involved in the passing game. And like you said, Devon Achane, he earned his way to more touches. Hopefully Mitchell is the same thing. So he might not immediately be a must-start player. I want to see it obviously more, but if you can get the top running back on the Baltimore Ravens right now, you do it, because that offense has become electric. So definitely must roster, must add, but I wouldn't put him into the must-start category yet. But we'll see. A lot of things could change over the next few days. Move over to the wide receiver position, where again, there were some real breakouts that we've been kind of waiting on all season. So Mario, let's kick it off with you, your biggest winner at the wide receiver position.
Yeah, so I'm not going to go the number one guy, as fun as that would be. I'm going to go with Cooper, and not Cooper Kupp, because why would that be? Nope, Cooper Kupp's still a bust somewhere. Amari Cooper, who looks great. I mean, he had 24 points. He caught his 2nd touchdown of the year, first one since week 3. 25 points last couple weeks, 14 again. So he's kind of been pretty disappointing. I mean, Deshaun Watson hasn't been there, so I feel like it's just been a little worrisome about if you have confidence in him. But he played the Cardinals, played a bad team, and the Browns put him in their place. So caught 5 for 5. I think one was a deflection. I didn't actually watch this game, but I'm pretty sure one was like a deflected pass that Cooper just happened to catch, caught a touchdown off of it. So good for Cooper. He got his wide receiver 4.
Yeah, as long as Watson's back, Cooper plays himself in TV, must start wide receiver, even as a wide receiver 2. Hopefully it wasn't because they're placing the Arizona Cardinals. I don't think that's the case, but that's something that you might hear some thoughts of. But he's been impressive. He's definitely the clear one for Deshaun Watson, and it was needed to see. We've started to have some doubts from Amari Cooper. But over to you, Brian. Who is your biggest standout at the wide receiver position?
You know, honestly, I didn't want to talk about the first overall guy either. It's just, for some reason, it doesn't seem fun, but it's just not doing the guy justice. Tank Dell, man. Came out here and dropped, he caught 6 passes, 114 yards, and 2 touchdowns. Part of the 5 touchdown day that CJ Stroud had. But I'm going to overshadow his day a little bit more, because if we're going to keep going, the number 2 wide receiver on the day, Noah Brown for the Texans. Crazy good day, 153 yards and a touchdown. And then, wait, let's keep going with this party train, because we had Nico Collins at wide receiver freaking 11. Another 54 yards and a touchdown. Like, what? Now, granted, these, you know, after you get past, like, wide receiver 9, that really weren't these high explosive games that are that impressive, but he supported 3 wide receiver 1s this week. It's incredible. Because then you go ahead and talk about Dalton Schultz. Yeah, he was tight end 1. Crazy. Anyway.
Yeah, so if you're a Houston Texan, you had a good game. So that must mean the running backs were good, right? We'll get to that. Probably at some point, but a bad game for the running back. And it's so nice to see Damian Pierce may still have some value. But yeah, the Texans were really, really good. Dalton Schultz, he was awesome. So if you need a tight end, that's definitely a name you'll wanna circle. The wide receiver I'm going to bring up is T. Higgins. We've been, again, another guy we've been waiting for his breakout. He's had some injuries with Joe Burrow struggling. He wasn't as jumping off the page. Well, now with Ja'Marr Chase potentially dealing with a back injury, he's going to have his value. He's going to get his flowers. He had 8 receptions on 9 targets for 110 yards, with Joe Burrow playing his best football of the season the past 2 weeks and not really stopping that anytime soon. T. Higgins is going to be jumping himself right back into that low-end wide receiver 1, high-end wide receiver 2 the rest of the way. I have zero doubts about him going forward. He's been extremely impressive, and just wanted to shout him out because it's been a rough start to the year for T. Higgins, but he's definitely right back on track. And then we'll give one final shout out, Chris Olave. 6 catches, 46 yards and a touchdown. He finally got into the end zone. Somehow that's good for wide receiver 10. So we talked about the struggles week. It's good to see him get in the end zone. It's nice to see things come back. Nice to see that someone not named Taysom Hill can get into the end zone for the New Orleans Saints. But we've been waiting on it for Olave, so happy he's back. And Mario mentioned this, but quick shout-outs to some tight ends. Dalton Schultz was great. And, you know, there's not too much more we can say about him. Kate Otten and Cole Kmet are 2 that I'm going to give a brief shout-out to. They both had 2 touchdowns. So Cole Kmet, with the return impending of Justin Fields, becomes a right back to me as a must-start top 12 tight end week in, week out. Kate Otten, I hope I can buy into, but I don't think that's going to fully be the case. You guys view anything differently with these guys?
Kmet, I do like, just because we have seen him have success, mostly when Justin Fields was quarterback. Like, Kmet's someone I have shares in. He's someone that I definitely, and I write some of the Bears start sits. I will say I was a little down on him this week. I wasn't, because he had 10 targets the week before and he caught all 10 of them. So he's getting involved in this offense. So like I said, 10 targets the week before this, 8 targets this week. He's someone who has, this is his second 2-touchdown game this year. So I think Cole Kmet has pretty good upside in the tight end wasteland. He has good upside.
Bajent looks good. He's been a decent plug-in for the Bears right now. And I just want to throw out all tight ends. Congratulations, guys. Yes. 14 touchdowns across the league.
Wow.
You really screwed some running backs and wide receivers, but good for y'all on non-National Tight End Day.
Just thinking, we had National Tight End Day earlier this year, right? And like, we might have to change the date.
I guess this is National Tight End Month now. That was National Tight End Month.
Okay.
Now they get the
Okay.
You guys ruined my transition. I was going to talk about being tight ends week day last week, but you guys just stole it right from me. So fine. I'll just smoothly transition us over to the bus. Brian, hit the button. We're going to talk about the guys who disappointed us this year and put a big fat X on our fantasy weeks.
There it is.
So we'll start off at the quarterback position. There was some extreme disappointments, and I'll kick this one off because I was talking about how the Baltimore Ravens offense has looked electric the past 2 weeks. So Lamar Jackson's had to be good, right? No, he was the quarterback 17, only putting up 11.5 fantasy points. This is two straight weeks now in great matchups where the offense has looked awesome, where Lamar has finished outside of the QB1 range. I'm not concerned about him going forward, but should people start being? It's 2 weeks now in blowouts where it's just he hasn't lived up to the hype.
Go ahead.
I was going to say, I think this is just a product of kind of the same situation Trevor Lawrence is in. The running back position is just outperforming what they should be. Gus Edwards has 6 touchdowns over the last 3 weeks. What? Even if half of those went to Lamar, we'd be so much happier with Lamar's performance. And same thing with Travis Etienne. He is scoring so many touchdowns right now, and it's just taken away from their overall performance. You give him an extra touchdown and a half on these last few games, and we'd absolutely love the performance we're getting out of these guys. And I think that's just what it is. You know, that kind of stuff regresses always back to the mean. So I'm sure we're going to see, as we get closer to the playoffs, Lamar is going to get more of those passing touchdowns. Odell caught a passing touchdown. Like, come on, guys. It's coming back. We're heading back that way.
Yeah, I was just going to say, this reminds me of, I think it was maybe 3 years ago at this point, but when the Packers with Aaron Rodgers, I think the Packers finished 13-3, and Aaron Rodgers had one of his down years in fantasy because they were just utilizing Aaron Jones so much. AJ Dillon was really involved. So it's just like, as long as the Ravens are blowing teams out, I don't know if Lamar is going to turn this around. But like you mentioned with Gus Edwards, it's like if Lamar ran in one of these touchdowns, right? It's like we're talking him in a totally different light. So, but I am a little worried that this is kind of they're showing signs of what's to come. Like if they're blowing good teams out, the Lions, the Seahawks, they're blowing these teams out. Lamar doesn't have to do much. He may not be asked to do much, save it for December.
Move over to the other quarterback who disappointed, Tua Tagovailoa. I don't know if it was just being out in Germany that got to him or if it's just a long flight, but the Dolphins offense just took a long time to get going and it caused Tua to be a disappointment for fantasy. 21 of 34, 193 yards and 1 touchdown. So finishes at quarterback 16 on the week with just over 12 points. Again, not sure you could take too much up from it outside of the Chiefs defense might just be a lot better than we're giving them credit for. They just continue to shut down some teams that they need to. But yeah, disappointing week for Tua and that entire Miami Dolphins offense.
Yeah, they knocked down that offensive line like the Berlin Wall. Like Germany's seen that before.
Oh my gosh. This is nothing new to them. Wow. I was going to just comment how the early flight couldn't save them. I mean, what we saw from the previous games, I guess these were the England games, but the team that flew over first won the first two international games. Miami flew over there on Monday. Kansas City got there Thursday, I believe. And I was so confident. You heard me on the Stardom Sit'em show on Thursday. Let's take all Dolphins. They flew in earlier. Couldn't save them.
Yeah, unfortunate. But, you know, Dolphins get the bye week. They'll come back. I don't have any worries. Once they get Achan back, it just adds another dimension in the offense where they might be able to open up the passing game a little bit more. But move over to the running back position where, like we mentioned some players who we might have to be concerned about. One of them is Bijan Robinson, who it's Arthur Smith, but this has now been a couple straight weeks of this usage is just frustrating everybody. So tell me why we shouldn't be panicked about Bijan Robinson, or can we even come up with a reason why we shouldn't anymore?
Not using words that I can say on this podcast. Goodness, this is so freaking frustrating. It's maddening. Like we had a goal line attempt where we gave the ball 3 times, 3 of the 4 times, or 2 of the 3 times to Janu, like handing it off 1 time. Like, what are we doing?
Didn't last week they try and throw a touchdown with Janu at the goal line too instead of just
getting way too cute with it?
I think Mario might be right. It's the Smith last name. John, who has to be related to Arthur some way in familial relation. There's got to be something going on there. This is just
Bijan Smith. We just need a name change. That'll yeah. Just go down to the courthouse on Saturday.
I think so. I'll call Bijan and make the suggestion right now, and let's get this back on track.
Take him in there.
Yeah, but Bijan wasn't the only running back that disappointed us. I'm sure we'll get more into it throughout the week, but Mario, let's kick it over to you. Who's your biggest disappointment at the running back position?
Oh, my biggest disappointment is going to be Kenneth Walker III, put up 2.7 points. I still think he's hurt. I talked about it a little bit last week, mentioned in last week's waiver wire article. I'm singing the praises again this week. This guy would be probably my number one if you don't need someone to plug and play this week. But it's the wine man himself, Zach Charbonnet. So this is the second week in a row where he led the Seahawks backfield in snaps. That hasn't happened at all before these last two games. And the other thing is, yes, Walker has now rushed for single digits in two consecutive games. But before that, Walker had six straight games with double-digit carries. They're also past their bye already, so there's not going to be an opportunity for Walker to just kind of rest his body. I really think at one point, sooner than later, they're going to bench Walker, just give him the week off for the rest. And that's where the wine man, Zach Charbonnet, comes and swoops in. So a little twofer there. So biggest bust, but also probably my number one waiver guy.
Yeah, the he up-snapped Kenneth Walker for the second straight week. I'm loving to see it. I don't think Kenneth Walker is just going to be obsolete. Like you said, there's probably, you know, a little bit more going on here, but 50-50 snap share in this offense because Geno can't pass the ball. So
no, he cannot.
Let's just run it on every play. I'm cool with that.
So real quick, Charbonnet or Mitchell, who should be the number one priority? I think you covered it, but just to clear it.
I'm going fancy.
Yeah, there we go. Yeah, raise a glass if you would.
Yep, we'll sweep it. I will pour a nice glass of Charbonnet and enjoy my waiver wire bids. But yeah, it'll be interesting. Brian, you're the resident Colts fan, and the last running back who disappointed us, it wasn't Jonathan Taylor, but it's the other backfield with Zach Moss. As we sit here now, what's your read on the Colts? Is Zach Moss droppable? Is this mix just fully Taylor's job going forward?
I think it was always JT's job to take over. You know, obviously he missed the preseason, so they wanted to bring him in, acclimate him, you know, appropriately. Obviously, you know, number one or number four draft pick for him, Anthony Richardson's gone. So not that the season's necessarily lost, but there's no reason to brush him back too quickly and hurt him. I think now he has plugged himself in as the bell cow. Zach Moss is still going to get some work. I wouldn't rage drop him. If you're just dropping him because you're a little upset with him, don't do that. Just stick him on the bench, maybe the bottom of your bench. Like, really show him, like, a stern, like, step it up. But unless you're really going out there to score something high, I don't think you're dropping him.
Yeah, I would agree. He's still got some value. And if, God forbid, anything happens to Jonathan Taylor, Moss will go right back to that top 10 running back that he was at the beginning of the season. We'll go over to the wide receivers who disappointed. We talked about Ja'Marr Chase at the beginning due to his injury. I'll blame it on the injury and say that's the reason he disappointed. He'll be his usual Ja'Marr Chase self going forward. But other wide receivers, I don't know if we can say the same from. There's definitely some reasons to be concerned. It's been a few weeks now of consistent struggles. So, Brian, let's let you kick it off this time. Your biggest bust at the wide receiver position this week.
Well, Davante Adams, I feel like he's just parking here lately. This is now 4 of 5 weeks he has failed to hit 10 PPR points. It's gross. He only did that four times entirely over the 2022 season. So despite his 29% target share, it's coming from O'Connell. I don't think we're locking and loading Adams as the sit it and forget it wide receiver one. I think we need to look at more as a wide receiver two with that wide receiver one upside.
You tell me at the beginning of the week that the Raiders are going to put up 30 points against the New York Giants. That means Davante Adams had to be good, right? Nope. Yeah, it's getting worrisome. I'll still put out some buy lows on him and get burnt in the end, but you definitely have more reasons to be concerned when you have in a couple weeks. Hopefully they figure things out. But Mario, over to you if you have anything more to add about Adams. If not, then let's with you talk about your biggest bust of the week.
No, Adams is nothing but pain train, so there's nothing more to say. My biggest bust on the week, kind of related to Lamar, that's Zay Flowers. Zay Flowers, who is, I consider someone to be like a pretty safe play in fantasy and PPR. Before these last 2 weeks, he had at least 8 points every week this season, usually in double digits, but he had the 1 and 8. So I had to say the at least. He's had at least 6 targets in 4 of the last 5 games. But now last week, that's the one where the outlier comes in. 1 target. He caught it, thank goodness, but for 11 yards. I'm starting to worry a little bit on Zay Flowers. It's 2 bad weeks in a row. The first one was against Arizona, and you were just kind of saying, okay. But this one, I mentioned it with Lamar. The Ravens blew out the other bird team, the Seahawks, and Zay Flowers wasn't even mentioned, wasn't even involved. So next week they play home against the Browns. Tough divisional matchup. I'm hoping he gets more involved. Last time they played the Browns, he caught 3 of 4 targets for 56 yards. So I would take that at this point.
Yeah, I think Flowers has definitely entered V. You don't have to start him. He's not a must start by any means. Even with the buys, he might be in that flex territory now, especially with that tough matchup against Cleveland Browns. And I'll wrap up the wide receivers. This one I'm still going to be starting next week because they play V Tennessee Titans, and we saw what you can do against Titans. But it's Chris Godwin. 6 targets, which you think, great, on 20% target share. Still worked out great, right? 2 catches for 16 yards. With Rashad White being more involved in the passing game, I'm hoping it doesn't take away from Chris Godwin's share. This is his first bad week in a couple weeks. He was starting to get more involved, so I'm not pushing the panic button yet about Chris Godwin. But if he has another bad week this coming week against the Tennessee Titans, then I'll press it. But for now, Godwin's still someone you'll start as a wide receiver too going forward, especially with some good matchups coming up the rest of the way. The Buccaneers won't have a game script where we'll have some more game scripts we'll need to throw, especially with that offense or defense allowing 30 points per game week in and week out. So I'm not too worried about Chris Godwin yet, but make it 2 in a row, then I'll panic.
Mm-hmm.
Over the tight ends, where I don't think either of us are worried about them going forward, especially the first one, Travis Kelce. Taylor Swift wasn't there, so that's just the reasoning. We just got to cancel her tour, get her back into Kansas City, and Kelce will be fine. No one's obviously worried about Travis Kelce, but the other one was Trey McBride. He finishes as the tight end 26 this week. We talked about Kyler Murray coming back, so hopefully that brings him back. But is Trey McBride, even after this week, even with Murray back, a must-start tight end in Week 10?
I definitely think he is. I think you're hoping people saw this bad performance and are dropping him. You can go scoop him up. They had the worst matchup for tight ends against the Cleveland Browns, so this was kind of expected. This was, I feel like, what most people were preparing for going into this game. And I think we're going to see 7+ targets for the remainder of the season going to McBride.
Exactly that. They got blown out in a tough matchup. I'm not taking anything from it. Burn the tape.
Yep. Well, McBride was once the guy we were dropping all our fab to get. Let's see if there's other guys we will do that for this coming week with the waiver wire pickups. We talked about at the beginning of the show or through this segment. Charbonnet and Mitchell are the clear top priorities at the running back position. I don't think any other options fit into that category of the top you need to add them, their must adds, but there's still some other running backs we'll add for some sort of depth. So with Mitchell off the board, with Charbonnet off the board, we talk about Mario. Let's start with you. Who are some other running backs you're circling as guys you need to be adding this week to your rosters?
Yeah, someone I'm keeping a close eye on is Devin Singletary, the Houston Texans. He had, I think it was a pair of touchdowns this week. I'll have to fact check myself, but he looked good. He played 54 snaps. Mostly that's because Damian Pierce was injured. But listen, that's just, he was injured and Pierce was injured. Singletary got the opportunity. That's what we're looking for. He did have 2 touchdowns, and that's kind of what saved his. He had 26 yards on 13 carries. So that's gross. That leaves a bad taste in your mouth. But 2 touchdowns comes from the opportunity of being the only healthy running back there. So especially if Pierce is going to continue to miss time, Singletary is going to get all the work there. If he trips and falls for a touchdown, you're happy. If he trips and falls for 2, you're stoked. So he's someone I'm keeping an eye on in deeper leagues.
Brian, any other name you're throwing in as a must add? I know that's our, someone you're monitoring going forward.
I feel like it's a lot of these same guys that we're throwing out there each and every week. We've hit on a lot of the big ones, so just kind of cleanup duty. If you are at the point where, you know, we're grabbing handcuffs, we're filling our benches with these high upside guys. No more do we need these players that are giving us anywhere from 2 to 7 points. We know what a lot of these guys are. So grabbing Elijah Mitchell for CMC, grabbing Herbert in that Chicago backfield. We've got Gainwell for Philly, Dowdle for Chicago, for the Cowboys, for Pollard. I think a lot of these guys need to be picked up. Zamir White you have for the Raiders, and then Tank Bigsby even getting more involved up there in Jacksonville. Just, you know, shots in the dark, hoping they hold on.
Yeah, definitely names to keep in mind. So like I said, the running back position, it's pretty clear, and I'll throw out just one final. Tyler Algier, if he's sitting out there still, the Falcons are going to use him. Regardless of whether or not we want them to use him, this is the usage he's getting. So if you are in a desperate play for this coming week, he's playing the Arizona Cardinals. You could do worse than Tyler Algier. So he's a talented player. I'm not going to take anything away from Algier. He had a really good rookie season last year. It's just comparing him to Bijan Robinson. There's definitely a difference. So, but he's getting usage against the Cardinals this coming week. So I definitely think he's worth adding if he's still out there in that mix. So real quick, we've kind of talked about it at the beginning of the show with the top priority, Mitchell and Charbonnet. So we'll wrap it up. Who becomes number three in that list? Is it Singletary? Is it one of the handcuffs? How are you prioritizing the remaining guys?
I'll go Singletary.
Yeah, I was kind of leaning Singletary. Algier is tricky. Like, I wanted to say him for a second, but I know as soon as it looks like Algier is going to be the clear-cut guy, Cordell Patterson is going to come back from the dead and get 3 touchdowns in a game. So Singletary is probably the best bet. It looks like this offense is cooking with Stroud really looking great. And even when Stroud did well, Singletary still got red zone opportunities. So,
yep, we'll sweep it with Singletary. I like him as a potential play. I had to look it up when you said he had 2 touchdowns because all I kept seeing was just him having a bad game. And you were right, he had 2 touchdowns, so it saved his day. But every time I'd watch that game, I'd be like, he's getting nowhere. So I didn't even see him fall into the end zone for one of those. So at least he saved himself carries, there.
26 yards.
Yeah, the efficiency might not be there, but if Pierce is out more than 1 week, he's going to get the footwork. He did get 2 receptions as well. So 15 touches in a Houston Texans offense. You take that, regardless of how it goes. Go over to the wide receiver position where we talk about the Houston Texans and their firing offense. So we'll keep it up. We talked about it at the beginning of the show, but Tank Dell is still sitting out there in a fair amount of leagues after his amazing wide receiver one performance. Is he the top receiver priority, or do you guys have somebody else ranked ahead of him?
Probably. It looks like, I mean, there was talks early in the year where Tank Dell, he was looking like the guy. It was like Tank Dell versus Nico Collins. Who's it going to be? Nico Collins kind of won out for the time being, but Tank Dell, I mean, you're just as good as your last game, and he looked electric his last game. So I'd say for now, he's probably my number one. If I have a number two, it's kind of close, but I'd love to hear Brian's thoughts on this.
Ooh, yeah, he definitely needs to be owned. What was it, like 48% in Yahoo leagues? It's low. It's low, folks. There's definitely some guys you need to clean off your roster for him. I think he's up there tied with my number one. There's definitely some other options depending on situations. If we're looking at Ja'Marr Chase missing time, I think Boyd would be my number one over Tank Dell, especially the matchup is the Texans and the Bengals this week. So the Bengals have been playing a lot better, so Tank Dell might see a little bit more of a challenge this week. But I think they're all – there's a handful of guys that are up in contention for that number one, number two slot.
Yeah, so let's keep going with those names. Brian, you talked about the other guys in contention. Who's one or two guys you're throwing out there as the next men up outside or close to Tank Dell in priority?
I'm going to throw out the name. It's been horrible, but he's still a rookie. It takes time for them to develop. He's playing right now. So Quentin Johnson, we just saw Palmer hit IR as well. So hell, that is two wide receivers for the Chargers hit IR. There's really we're running out of guys to throw the ball to. Parham and Everett, the two tight ends, are about to be studs because Quentin Johnson just does not want to be involved, I guess. I don't know. But Quentin Johnson, I still think we should hold out hope. We shouldn't draw conclusions too soon. He is a young player. He was a you know, he had some things to learn when he came to the NFL. He did not have a high catch rate coming out of TCU, so we expect to see some changes. So I definitely think he's up there with some of those guys.
Yeah, and that's who I'd say it would be. Quentin Johnston. Again, we don't know how he's doing tonight as this game's going on. We could wake up in the morning and, you know, he can go 11 targets, one catch, and he just has cement hands. But he was going to be up there. You know, it seems like that this offense really strives with a very viable wide receiver number two. We saw it with Mike Williams. We saw Palmer kind of get into a little bit of that role, doing a little bit better than I personally expected he would. Now Johnson's being thrown into the fire. He does have a tough matchup this week against the Jets. They allow the fewest points to fantasy running wide receivers. But, you know, if there's just – you got Fab to blow and see how to use your waiver on somebody this week, I like Johnson.
There's probably not – I mean, Tank Dell's the only guy left on the waiver wire who would have as much upside as Quentin Johnson plays. So he's more of that same thing we talked about for a while with him. If you need the upside bench player, he's probably not ready to be started every week unless – after we watched the game Monday night, he has a breakout performance that we've been waiting for, but he's definitely got the upside. So I think he definitely falls into that wide receiver two in terms of ranking for the waiver wire this week. Any other names that you guys want to throw out there? I know there's some interesting discussions, some guys coming off on IR potentially, just a few other guys that pique your interest.
I'll throw out a name just for fun, and that is Juju Smith-Schuster, someone whose knee almost exploded earlier in the year. Seems like it's a miracle he's even playing the game of football. But you know what? He had 7 targets this week that led the team, tied for leading the team in targets. Caught 6 of them for 51 yards. I don't know what it is. Maybe I'm just addicted to these New England wide receivers, but it seems like there's always a guy that I think is worth at least a high flex, low wide receiver two option. And so, like I said, that's Juju for me. They do have Indianapolis next week, so you love that matchup. Followed by a bye, and then you're playing the Giants. And Giants, I mean, they're a bad team, so good little stretch for him.
Mario, what are you doing? You know people listen to this. You can't be suggesting Juju. What are we doing?
We think the bad Juju's gone. You know, it's all good Juju here. Yeah.
It's New England. There's nothing but bad Juju up there. A couple guys I think should be looked at. Khalil Shakir, he is the number 3 wide receiver, so maybe even the number 4 pass catcher on this team right now. But it's interesting what they're doing with their 11 personnel. They're running 3 wide receiver sets more, and we're seeing him involved. And he's catching nearly every pass that goes to him this year. So I think he's a decent bench stash, just to kind of see what he does in that Bills offense, if that develops any. And I can't stop the rookies. I've got an addiction here. I found Dynasty a couple years ago, and I'm just infatuated with myself and some rookies. But Mims, I feel like I talk about him every week, so this is my small Mims segment, everybody. They're coming off the bye week, and that's usually when we see rookies get integrated more into the offense. So who knows? Maybe something will happen. And then Michael Wilson. We've had a small spot this year where he was semi-fantasy relevant. We're kind of picking him up. He's coming off an injury, but I think with Kyler, we're looking at a guy who could really take over. Now, we've got Hollywood there, so he's not going to be the number one, but he could be a decent contributor. We could see, you know, possibly wide receiver 3, maybe even flirting with wide receiver 2 numbers coming out of Michael Wilson. But just definitely a name to keep an eye on, see how he develops.
Yeah, Mario mentions his affinity for Patriot wide receivers, so one name I'm going to throw out there who might even be better than Juju and fits into Brian's team of rookies is Demario Douglas. Ben Brown would be ashamed of us if we didn't mention him. He's still only 21% rostered in ESPN, but 3 straight weeks now, 6 or more targets this past week, 5 receptions, 55 yards against Commanders. They played the Colts this week, so I think there's a lot to like there. He's got the upside. He's kind of integrated, similar to Juju, so he forms a 1-2 punch that they're going to get the work, and it's going to be an easy offense or defense, excuse me, to beat. After this week, they have a bye, so we won't play them then. But the following weeks, they play the New York Giants, the Los Angeles Chargers, and the Pittsburgh Steelers. That's 3 straight weeks of plus matchups for the New England Patriots passing game. yes, it's the New England Patriots passing game, and we've been avoiding it all season outside of Mario's recommendations, but now might be the time to get into it. I think there's some upside with the rookies there. And Juju, he has a safe floor. I think there's more upside with Mario. So if I was picking up a Patriot receiver, I think Douglas is the guy who I would prefer to go after. But if you need the safe points, you probably could do worse than Juju. And I say that as a regretful Steeler fan who had to deal with Juju the last year or two of his Steeler tenure. But yeah, so stay tuned to the waiver wire article where we get some more names. I'll throw out quick, just real quick, Tyler Boyd also, with Jamar Chase potentially missing some time. If he's out there, there'll be a lot of potential for Tyler Boyd. If Chase misses any time, he'll become a must add. So before we go over to the streamers, let's rank the top three, the guys we're prioritizing. Mario, let's kick off you. Your three biggest priorities at this position.
Yeah, probably going with Tank is number one. I do think he's probably most likely to be rostered out of any of these guys, but I like him. I think he's the best talent. Number two, hopefully Johnson's looking good as we record this because he's my number two. And although the Boyd filling in for an injured Chase may seem like it makes the most sense, we're going with the good Juju vibes. He's my number three.
Brian?
I think my number one is going to be Boyd, obviously pending the Jamar Chase, but I think it's going to be a pretty good shootout going against the Texans. I think that would be the number two for me. And I'm going to regret saying it. Quentin Johnson, though. We've just got to see. At this point of the year, you are looking for lottery tickets. You're looking for high upside. And he's an easy drop player if, you know, we see he's not doing well. So I'm shooting for high upside with Quentin Johnson.
I'll go with Tank Dell at number one. He's probably the most rostered of those, but he's probably still widely available enough to be mentioned. So he's number one. If Chase misses any time, I'll put Boyd at two. And then my number three, I'm buying into the Mario Douglas hype, so I'll put him at three. Ooh. with Quentin Johnson pretty close. He might, depending on how things go, jump into that mix, but I'm just out on Johnson. The way he's been, it's just hard for me to believe the breakout's actually coming this year. I'm having trouble believing it lately, but I'm willing to be wrong on that one. But this all does vary as we are recording this, as Monday Night Football is being played, so maybe as we get to the end of this segment, he'll catch a touchdown pass and I'll be eating my words. Let's go over to the streamers for this coming week. And just a caveat, we're going to take Kyler Murray off this list because he's coming back. He's going to be widely available. But I think he's the, Mario said at the beginning of the show, he is the number one target, I think, for most of us. Let me know if I disagree. But he's going to be the one we'll be streaming for this coming week, but probably starting from here on in, or at least rostering from here on in. So taking Kyler Murray off of the list, who is your other, any other streamers that you're looking for at the quarterback position?
Yes, I'm all in on the Pastronaut. I'm someone that has a couple quarterbacks in a couple different leagues on bye this week between the Mahomes and the Hurts. And in all of these leagues, my number one guy I'm going after is Joshua Dobbs, the Pastronaut. He looks great just showing up mid-game, no practice. So I have to think how good he's going to look after a week of practice. So he would be my number one.
Yeah, against New Orleans Saints, I'm very intrigued.
And for me this week, I might have some dirty britches, so I'm going to have to wipe my Heineken because nice. That's where I'm going. I'm going with the Atlanta Falcons and their matchup against the Cardinals. I think Drake London should be back this week, so just one more weapon for him to ignore while he throws the ball to Jonnu Smith. Let's go, Taylor Heineke.
And you know what? We'll each go with a different streamer. I like Baker Mayfield this week against the Tennessee Titans. We talked about Chris Godwin. I'm buying into the bounce back. Well, if he bounces back, that means Baker Mayfield plays well. He's been efficient, and you play the Tennessee Titans where you can have some threats passing the ball. They'll be able to stop the run somewhat with White. Well, he might be using the passing game. So I'm buying into Baker. I think he has a solid QB2 sort of game where you could do worse than streaming Baker Mayfield this week. Over to the tight end streamers where, like I said, we may need someone losing Dallas Goedert. We do have a couple of good tight ends on bye, such as Travis Kelce. You know, Tyler Higbee's been in and out of people's lineups. So who are you looking at the tight end position to replace potentially Goddard?
My number one guy here, I mean, we mentioned earlier, like Jonnu Smith. Jonnu Smith is the tight end one in Atlanta. People are still caught up on the names. He had 100 yards and a touchdown last week. I can I expect to see him continue to be involved in the offense week in, week out. Some of the other guys on this list, I think, are a little bit more of a lottery ticket. I think Jonnu Smith is a little bit more reliable and a very confident starter.
Somebody I'm going to be interested in is, if he's still out there because he's being picked up widely, Taysom Hill is just been so much fun the last 3 weeks. I don't know. I mean, he ended up throwing a touchdown to Juwan Johnson, the other tight end. So, like, he just says, hey, guys, I'm matchup proof right now. So I'd ride the wave. It's been so much fun. Pat Freiermuth is set to be coming back soon, so that's somebody to keep an eye on. But Daniel Bellinger, if they can somehow figure out what's going on in the Giants quarterback position, he ran the second most routes on the team. So now that Waller's gone, he looked great in his rookie year before he had his eyes gouged out and knocked out for several weeks last year. But it's a scary play. It is a scary play, but I'm interested in Daniel Bellinger.
Yeah, you talk about tightening your boots. You're doing that with Daniel Bellinger. I forgot all about the eye injury from Bellinger last year. That brought back some memories. And I'll just remind us also, Trey McBride is still less than 50% rostered. He's going to get Kyler Murray back. You're playing the Atlanta Falcons, which is a tougher matchup than plays the Houston Texans. Kyler Murray's going to keep him involved. So if Trey McBride is still available, you go to get him. But I do like your guys' plays with Taysom Hill and Jonnu Smith, potentially even maybe more for this week, but Trey McBride has to be long-term upside to be a starter week in and week out, maybe even more than any of these guys who have been mentioned. But a good week for streamers for a tight end position. And yeah, somebody said it throughout the fantasy industry. Is it me or is tight end feeling a little bit deeper lately? It feels like every week now the streamers are starting to be like, you know, I can live with these guys. Maybe it's because Taysom Hill is becoming a weekly start fixture at the tight end position, and that just grosses me out continuously.
I did see J.J. Zacharyson actually did research on that. Evidently, we're just south of where the numbers were last year from the position, but overall, we're higher than the previous 5 years total. So we are seeing a slight increase right now, which, woohoo. These younger guys really kicking it out there, catching some balls. I love it.
Except freaking Kyle Pitts.
Yeah.
Except Kyle Pitts. The 1 year I got into him. It's frustrating the heck out of me. But, you know, I'm still doing all right in that league, so can't complain. And we'll wrap up with the streaming defenses, just my continuous caveat. I'll probably do every week from here on in. Stream whoever's playing the New York Giants. I don't have their schedule in front of me at this present moment. They're probably widely rostered, but hey, if someone's facing the Giants this week, you go play them. I think it's the Dallas Cowboys, so they're pretty rostered. So ignore that, but just as a reminder, going forward the rest of the way. But Mario, do you have a favorite streamer for this week?
Yeah, I'm looking. It's tough to say. I mean, I was thinking before this past week, I would have said the Bengals going up against the Texans, but now that's looking like a potential shootout game. If you're feeling frisky and you think the 49ers, they're on their 3-game losing streak, they're coming off the bye now, but Jacksonville's defense could be a spicy play. If I mentioned how much I like the Pastrnak, if you think this was a 1-week fluke, the Saints could be a good play. Ugly. Nothing's jumping out at me, though. What about you, Brian?
Jets, I feel like they're kind of widely owned, but going up against the Raiders, it's a great matchup.
Yeah, I'll throw the Steelers out there. They play the Green Bay Packers and Jordan Love at home. They've had some inconsistent moments, but they're doing a good job of keeping teams, and Jordan Love's pretty turnover prone. I don't know how widely available they are. I feel like people haven't been as interested in them defensively as in the past, but if they're available, I think you could do worse than with them against the Green Bay Packers. But what I'm learning here is I'm not loving the streaming defense slate this week. No matchups are really standing out on me. But you know what? Check out the weekly defensive streamers article. We'll break some more matchups down. But from our point of view, nothing's really jumping off the page is what I'm kind of learning here. There's some interesting ones, but nothing as a extreme interest for us. But that's gonna do it for this episode of QB List Fantasy Football Podcast. Be sure to tune into QBList.com. We'll have our weekly, we'll have more in-depth information about all of you guys, these guys we discussed here, along with the streamers at every position, quarterback, tight end, defense, weekly start, sit, what we saw, everything like that, as you help to make your waiver and lineup decisions going forward. Be sure to find us on Twitter at the QBS for all access to these articles, as well as we just wanted to chat some fantasy football. You can join our Discord as well. So anything else that you guys feel like we want to plug here before we wrap up?
Yeah, I mean, you can always find me on Twitter at Mario Domo Jr. Always doing that waiver wire article. Brandon called me the waiver wire wizard, and that has definitely gotten to my head and is now I've sprinkled that in into the article. So thank you for that. And again, you'll find me in all the Reddit threads. I usually post in a little comment, hey, it's me, Mario. And I do my best to answer any questions people have. So keep an eye out for me there.
A lot of that's very similar for me too. You're going to find me on Twitter at @too_much_Brian. You can find me in the Reddit articles, answering questions about the what we saw, writing one to two of those most weeks. You can also find my tight end article on the website as well, helping you stream those awesome tight ends that we have this year.
Yeah, you can find me at @Callen_Elsliger. I'll jump in here and there for those, as well as being active in our Discord. But you know, a lot of exciting stuff. We're reached the half point of the season, so we're getting closer to those fantasy playoffs. So definitely tune in to us, tune into our other podcasts and our other articles as we try and get you access to win you another fantasy championship. But thanks for tuning in to this episode of the QB List Fantasy Football Podcast. Good luck when it comes to your week and matchups. And we will talk to you next week.
Peace.
See ya.